Network.
Hey, Rowdies fans, it's Charlie Dennis.
This is Forrest Lasso.
You're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Is there one final touch to be had? Aaron Guillen. Lasso. Elevating.
Yeah.
Goussana. Score.
Hear me cry, see me run, see me jump. Try to fight, but I emerge with the prize in hand. You better watch out, it's gonna take more than what you've got. All eyes are on the end. The silence is deafening. You're so helpless against this.
Hello, Rowdies family, and welcome to the Unused Substitute Soccer Show, where we spread the green and gold gospel about the Tampa Bay Rowdies. My name is Matthew Cox, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ben Wilcox. And for the next 45 to 90 minutes or so, because we are bad at math, almost as bad as we are at soccer podcasting, we are going to talk about the Rowdies' most recent results, some league and some club news, and we're going to preview this week's game, I mean, technically tomorrow's game, since we were doing this on Friday night, because that's the kind of wild and crazy lives that we are leading. This weekend's game, the road trip to Pittsburgh to take on the Riverhound. Ben, how you doing? How you feeling?
I mean, look, I'm feeling pretty dang good. Like we were joking about before we started this thing, I've actually got a whole weekend off, which is rare. So I'm quite looking forward to that and actually doing some things that I haven't done in a while. It has been an insane start to the Rowdy season as well as the race season. So I am very much looking forward to some downtime.
Did you happen to see the Rays result tonight?
I did.
Yeah, I caught it right before we went on.
Yeah, I have come to learn one thing about the Rays, and this is completely my independent feeling, not because I work for the team. Look, I don't know how they do it, but they always do it. They will be in the postseason, people. Just hear me out. They're going to be in the postseason. It's like Thanos. It's inevitable. Okay? It's going to happen.
Two teams that are not going to finish the year the way they started are the Rays and the Yankees, in my opinion.
Yes, 100%. I mean, one would argue, and I hate to say it because the Yankees, but they've got so much talent to be as god awful as they were last year. So I don't know. I mean, whatever. I mean, I hope they lose everything. I hope those fans have nothing nice. And but yeah, how have you been, man? How's life treating you, my friend?
Hold on. Can you still hear me right now? Cause I'm getting a message that my internet connection is trying to reconnect.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay. So let me make sure I'm not just randomly talking.
Internet's over.
Keep saying, make sure you have a stable connection. Yeah, man, it's been crazy. I ended up missing out on the Rhode Island game. We had a minor, not even minor, like bee infestation in part of the backyard for a while now, and been waiting on someone to come over and take care of it. And it's, you know, been like friend of a friend. They weren't going to charge us anything, but so it meant we always kind of got pushed off when something else happened.
Sure.
Finally, was like, hey, I can come over this afternoon and get started on it. Like, okay. But I had to be here for that. So I ended up getting to watch the game from at home, which was good. It's not as good as being there, I know. But it was good.
It helps with the broadcast, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, short of having like Mike Watts and Devin Kerr.
Agreed. Yes, who were fantastic.
Yeah, and I saw they've got them on the big game tomorrow night on CBS Prime, the Louisville Indy game.
Yep.
The two of them with Heather Mitz as a sideline reporter, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yep.
Like, it's just, hate my cat. Oh, gosh. I might even edit that out. We'll see.
We're doing it live.
We're doing it live. Yeah, we... It's that time of year. It's fourth quarter at school. It's just trying to get everything done while also still doing stuff. It's just, man, it's crazy. You're having a crazy time with the race season getting underway. Like, we took last week off, number one, because what are we going to say about that last game? And also, number two, I think we spent about 20 minutes before we hit record talking about old men things and you know, not sleeping and just, you know, coming home. And we actually were going to record the other night, and I was in this position in my chair that I'm in now, feet up on the table, leaned back, eyes about half as open as they are now. You were actually asleep.
Full out asleep.
To the point where we were both like, you know what, let's just do this another day. And we are both in a much better condition right now. So,
yes, I can confirm I have a pulse. I am breathing. I'm alive.
I can see you're wearing a shirt. Like, I don't have shoes on, but everything else, I'm fully clothed. And the other night, I was like, I don't know. What's going to show up on camera? I don't know. I can't tell.
One of these days, we'll actually, like, show the video, because I feel like it'd be fear entertainment, but that's just me.
Well, that's just whatever's on the TV behind me now.
Well, see, if it was what we thought it was earlier, hello.
Brown chicken, brown cow. It wasn't. It was green, not brown.
No, it was green.
All right, so let's recap. Like we said, there's not a lot to say about that North Carolina game from 2 weeks ago. Rowdies go on the road to North Carolina, the resurrection of the Railhawks. And come out of there with a 1-1 draw in which they did not score either of the goals. North Carolina FC with an own goal in the 63rd minute and followed it up with an equalizer in the 75th minute. Other than saying I was just kind of disappointed overall in that game because that, you know, road games are always tough, blah, blah, blah. I know that. And, you know, it's, you know, we're dealing with injuries, beginning of the season, all the things you throw out there. That's still a game I felt we should have won.
Considering
the team that we were going up against and everything else like that. That should have been a win, in my opinion. And I was kind of disappointed that it wasn't.
I mean, with our offense, I think showing so far this season that they had the ability to score goals in different ways. And with the talent that we brought in, to show that bad, it very inept on the offensive side of the ball against a team that I felt like we really should have done better. It didn't make sense. And I agreed, man. There isn't much to come out of that game with, and other than saying, I mean, look, it's a point on the road. I guess I'll take that, but oof, I mean, forget about that one and keep moving, which, I mean, apparently they did.
We're still talking about an unbeaten team right now. One of four in the Eastern Conference, and I'd rather be in our position than the position of the team we're going to go visit this weekend. We'll get to that later. So. But yeah, that one felt like a letdown, and maybe a little bit of a hangover into the first half of last weekend's match, the home match, the debut of Rhode Island FC at Al Lang Stadium. No JJ Williams playing in this game for them. So I thought, you know, I was kind of happy about that because he kind of has a knack for scoring against former clubs.
Yep.
And I did not want to see that happen. However, they did have I think he was the Golden Boot winner last year, Albert Dequa.
Yep.
Puts Rhode Island up early, 16th minute, goes into halftime at 1-0. And then I tweeted out later a picture of it's the meme of the person like leaning back in the chair playing a video game. And all of a sudden they sit up because now they're taking it more serious. Rowdies pour it on in the second half. And it, not necessarily surprising that you were mentioning the way Rhode Island's playing with a high press that, you know, it's great if you work, but you can get burned by it, especially late in the game when you start to get a little bit tired and legs start to get a little bit heavy. Arteaga equalizes in the 54th. Cal Jennings gives it with the winning goal in the 67th. Jordan Doherty with his first goal since 2020 in the 72nd. And then Rivera tacks on, puts some icing on the cake in second half stoppage time. Rowdies go home 4-1 winners, 4-1 to the lads. It has been written, it has been proclaimed. And Tampa Bay Rowdies have jumped up to fifth place in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, something we talked about, something you mentioned, is like that high tempo, and it was mentioned by obviously John Morrissey, who I 90% of what I gather that sounds intelligent about a game is from him. So if you think that I'm professing something brilliant, go give credit to John Morrissey. but he talked about it, and you know, and a number of guys did too. It's like, you know, that first half looked a little rough, but it's very much indicative of what Rhode Island did. And that second half, it's been proven throughout this season so far in Rhode Island's results is that they burn out by about that 75th minute. Mm-hmm. And they cannot sustain the way they play. And it showed where our team looked progressively stronger and stronger and progressing the ball up the field. Like, we looked dangerous. I mean, yes, in the first half, defensively, we could have probably given them one or two more goals. Thank God for Jordan Farr, who was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that's true to the season. I mean, the guy has been absolutely brilliant. He is another solid goalkeeper that we've had. And like throughout the history of the Rowdies, like, he's just another great guy in the back as the backstop.
We got to throw a shout in for Aaron Guillen. Had that big goal line clearance in early second half. That was huge. He we'll get to it later. He makes the bench of the team of the week. You look at his stats, like, guy could have been like a pick for the main team of the week. He is once again Guillen Island. It hasn't stopped.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We were talking a little bit about the defense, and I'm always saying how I think Jordan as defense is not his strongest position, and we just signed the new defender, thinking like we'd like to get him on the field. Mm-hmm. But here we go. You know, Jordan gets team of the week, and I mean, and well deserved. I mean, he gets the goal for one, which was a great header. It was a brilliant shot. So kudos for him. But then, yeah, it's just a brilliant game on top of it, which is no surprise to us. But it's like, it's him getting team of the week in a position that's not, I think, his best position, which is funny, right? So, I mean, what do I know, right? I mean, Force Lasso, God love him. I don't know what's going on with Lasso. It's like he has one blunder a game. But then outside of that, he is just so damn good. And the bad does not outweigh the good with in my opinion, with Fort. I think he has been a completely different player this year. You know, I said early on that he is going to come back with a vengeance this season, and I think he has overall. But man, that one mistake he makes is just, it is so dangerous. Like, I mean, even the goal. I mean, it's like, I looked away, so I didn't exactly see what happened, but I'm guessing he misjudged the bounce and it went over him, and that's kind of how Dequa got the one-on-one with Farr, basically. But that isn't even the mistake that I'm thinking about, where he had a back pass that was just bad. And thank God for Jordan Farr being Johnny on the spot. Cleared the ball out. I'm picking at small things that, let's be honest, are kind of inconsequential, considering the fact that we won 4-1 and very, very decisive win. You know, I mean, was there anything that stood out to you? I mean, from the game that really kind of showed you, you know, a lot of promise, or anything that worried you? Was there something that stood out for you?
So I was curious, and we'll talk a little bit more maybe when we get to the club news part. But yeah, we mentioned the Rowdies traded for a new defender, got a kid out of Phoenix, 25-year-old, says plays primarily as a wing back, either on the left or right hand side. And I kind of assumed, you know, we knew Freddie Kleeman was hurt. He's still listed as, I think he's listed as questionable for this week. He played some in the North Carolina game. I think he got some time in the North Carolina game, but was like an early sub in that one.
I don't remember. That feels like forever ago at this point.
It
that
does.
Might be a year ago now.
Monday feels like forever ago. Like, it.
Very true.
I kind of thought, okay, you know, it's you know, some depth, some bodies in the back. I kind of thought maybe the idea would be to put him back there and put Jordan back up in the midfield, and which, you know, we kind of think is his better spot. And but like you said, you know, well, the lineup comes out. Jordan's still in the back where he has been. Eddie is in the midfield. And you guys listening can't see this, but Ben's looking, I've got my screen shared now with the picture, which I was trying to figure out a way to Photoshop this, except it's the wrong arm, but I was trying to put the infinity gauntlet on Jordan's, fist and upper forearm in this picture. Like, it's just, man, it's like, I don't know, green steel in this one.
Yes.
So the two things that jumped out that I was surprised by, not really surprised, but the two things that stood out to me was, keeping Jordan back there, hey, it paid off. Had a heck of a game, makes team of the week, so you can't complain about it. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying I was surprised. I thought it was going to be maybe a different setup. I think a lot of us probably held our breaths for a few minutes in the 46th minute when Leo Fernandez kind of goes down, non-contact injury. Maybe he held his breath too a little bit. You went back and watched that a little bit more. He's listed as questionable for this week. which I don't think he's going to play. I don't think either him or Kleeman play, despite being listed as questionable, just because, it's Pittsburgh. It is a tough place to play. It is a tough surface. Some of the players have said, don't risk him at this point. But that I wasn't even thinking about that. My first thought was, oh God, did he just do his Achilles again? And if so, like, just immediately worst case scenario pops in my mind. But you went back and watched some of the coverage of it. What'd you see after he was subbed off?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that stood out to me is, like, you could see him clearly mouth to the trainer. He's like, I'm all right. But it's like something didn't feel right, you know, but he looked like he was okay. It was more precautionary. Now, I think the fact that he's questionable kind of backs it up a little bit. But yeah, man, I'm right there with you. I mean, that was why I went back and watched it again, because I'm like, what the heck? I mean, the second you see him get injured, you're like, oh, crap, it's Achilles again, right? Like, of course it is. Like, of course he's going to go down with another season and injury. But I mean, like I said, he very clearly says, I'm okay. So I mean, I wish I knew more. I reached out and I asked about it, and I haven't heard anything back. So, you know, I'm with you. I don't think putting him in, especially if he came off unsure about a way that he felt, I don't think you put him in the Pittsburgh game. I think we have more than enough depth out there right now.
Yeah.
There's no reason to, at least in midfield, right? Like, we are stacked in midfield. We don't need to risk it right now.
No.
Let him sit a couple games. Let him get 100%. Let his mind, whatever it is that he feels he needs to get right before he comes back out, get right. Because, you know, something we talked about before we started this is, you know, his first game back was not good. Like, he didn't look good when he came on. He looked very out of sync. He did not look right. And in this game, the first 45, he looked phenomenal. Like
well, and he's you know, I think was in a better spot for him last weekend against Rhode Island. And then, like you were saying before, pretty much anybody who's been you know, teamed up and playing in the combo with Blake Bodley just tends to look good, because he has been doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, Bodley is just something else, isn't he? I mean, like, I don't know. I guess I don't know what I expected from Bodley this season. It certainly wasn't this, but he has been absolutely phenomenal on that left side. Like, I every time he gets out there and he gets an open space, I'm like, we've got a chance. You know, it was very much the same thing with the guy, the right back, Pacifique. Oh, crap. I'm going to get his name.
Nyangabiri.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Wow. Glad you said it, because I couldn't have done that.
I don't know if I said it right, but I'm just going to try and sound confident when I say it.
Better than whatever I was going to say. So, I mean, he looks – I mean, like, I feel like as far as the right and left is concerned, that wing spot, I'm like, holy crap. Like, I love that setup this year. And the fact that we feel or that we have the depth we have in that midfield, like, again, to my point, it's like, let Leo rest. If he's not 100% right, why force it? It's not necessary. We need him for the end of the season. We need him for playoffs. You know, bring somebody else in who can do what they need to do. I mean, you've already got Chrysostomo and Lewis Hilton to hold down that center position as it is. You can piece in whoever you need to in that attacking center mid spot, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm worried about Leo, but I'm optimistic. I think the fact you have – I think if it was more than something that was just – precautionary, you don't even see him listed as questionable. Like, why even do that, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel pretty good about it, but yeah, I'm with you, man. My immediate thought was, oh, crap. Like, this is not what we need. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was going to be a year, let it be the year that we had the most stacked midfield I've ever seen, but still, you know, I just, like, come on. He ain't getting any younger, let's be honest.
No, but other than that, just I thought it was a good overall team performance. Robbie Nielsen gets his first win in the USL, first win with the Rowdies. Mentions, you know, winning at halftime and felt that, you know, had the play had been a little bit sloppy. And he's like, we had some words about what the expectations were in the second half, which I don't know if that's the polite way of saying he was, you know, yelling and screaming, cussing him out, whatever it is. I don't know what his style is. Whatever it was worked. The guys came out and, man, just scored some nice goals. Changed up the plan a little bit. I do like to see them, you know, kind of play some different styles to try and get around what the other team is doing. They started playing a little bit more direct, like that long ball over the top for Cal Jennings. And it's watching Cal Jennings play soccer sometimes is like flag football. It's like, just go deep and I'm going to throw it to you and you're going to score. And it's one of those, you know, like every time I see a long ball over the top and Cal, who usually has a guy on him, a guy who's got about, you know, 6 to 7 inches of height on him, but somehow Cal manages to get the ball and, you know, three out of five times he's gonna chip the keeper, he's gonna put it in an angle, he's gonna do something and score. And it's just kind of one of those, okay, he just crossed midfield the ball and here comes a goal.
Of the four goals, I mean, just random off the top of my head, which one kind of stood out the most to you? Just overall, just it could have been the build up, could have been the goal itself. Like, is there one that kind of really stuck out for you?
I love watching Cal Jennings score. Jordan Doherty one is great, as well too. And you know, he's only got four goals in career wise for the Rowdies and hadn't scored since 2020. So
Jordan Doherty's
goal is yeah, they are. I like the celebrations. It was nice. It was nice to see a little offensive outburst there. Needed that after the North Carolina game.
Well, and there's some flair in the way these guys are scoring right now, and I like it. Yeah. I mean, Arteaga's goal, I mean, look, he went in knowing full well he's going to get his head taken off, and he did it anyways. I mean, like, it's funny, like, so Zach Steinberger was there watching the game, and I happened to be right over by him when that goal happens, and like, he and I both kind of said the same thing at the same time. It was just like, that guy is the real deal. Like, he's exactly who we thought he was going to be and what we needed from that position. He is not afraid to challenge. He is okay with his back to goal. He is okay with, you know, taking a guy on. Like, he is exactly what you want from that position. And he's proved it so far this season. I love that guy. And so his goal, just the way it was kind of gritty, it was just like, I know I'm going to get clocked, but I'm going to get it anyways. Like, that one just for me was like, that was my favorite one of the game easily.
I'll tell you what this game felt like to me, and I think you'll probably understand it too. Going in halftime down 1-0, but kind of seeing how we play and knowing who we have. It's been like watching a Liverpool game lately where they give up a goal in like the first, you know, 10 minutes or so, and you're like, oh, okay, they'll win this 3-1. You know, at some point Salah's gonna get a goal, and maybe Cody Gakpo's gonna get a goal, something else gonna happen. Like, they're especially when it's like, you know, Southampton or whatever. But yeah, it was like, yeah, my main concern going into the game was going to be JJ Williams. And also we saw how dynamic Nyonga Bire was and what he brought to the team in the first game. We definitely missed that. He didn't play in the North Carolina game, did he?
Nope. That's when he was off playing.
Yeah. So
is he going to play for Burnley? What is happening here?
Yeah.
That was that one.
So, you know, getting a chance to get him back is going to be a big deal for this weekend too, I believe.
Something that's really stood out to me so far is that, and we've kind of hit on it through a couple of shows now, and really today is just like, the thing I've really been impressed by is our offense. And I remember you talked about this, our last podcast, how offense is the last thing to come, right? Like, usually defense comes along first and your offense usually builds in. Like, they look balanced, like, from left to right. Like, I'm not more or less concerned with either side. Like, it feels like whoever side it's coming from, like, we have a chance. It's just a matter of who's going to get that opportunity, which is beautiful because it leaves the defenses of whoever we're playing on their heels because they don't know to cover the left or the right. And the way that Chrysostomo and Lewis Hilton are playing together and moving that ball side to side, getting out to Bodley, getting out to Pacifique, like to getting the ball through the middle up to Cal Jennings. Like, I mean, the way that we're able to move through the midfield and attack from either side or straight at the middle, like this team is fun to watch. And when it finally clicks all together, like, watch out. Like, I mean, this team is fun. I get that it's been frustrating for a lot of us.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, if you really
clicked, and it definitely clicked in that second half, and part of that was, you know, Rhode Island maybe shooting themselves in the foot a little bit in terms of stamina, especially this early in the season. But when it clicked, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
But that's the thing. You're supposed to beat those teams. Like, what do you talk about? Like, I mean, years past, what do you always say is, like, you need to win the games you're supposed to win. Well, this is a game we should have won. I mean, we didn't do this against North Carolina, and we should have. And then we turn around next week and we're like, screw that. You know, like, we are who we say we are, and we're going to go out and do it. And they did it. And it looked good. Like, I mean, yes. I mean, obviously the first goal was frustrating, but look, Tico's going to be well. Like, what do you want? You know?
Yeah. If you're going to give up a goal to someone, like, don't be surprised when it's the leading scorer from last season.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's been doing it for years. Like, I mean, he is exactly, you worry about him because he's earned the name. I mean, like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And look,
the good part is he did that in this game because it means he's not on Pittsburgh anymore and we don't have to deal with him this weekend.
Yes. Oh, very, very good point. Yes.
So I'll take that.
You know, it's something, it's funny, like, I don't know if you watched today's press release on the game. Like, they were talking about, you know, how, you know, Pittsburgh's dangerous. You know, they're coming in, you know, without having won a game. Like, so they're going to be even more hungry, the same way we were in our last game. Like, even though, like, we hadn't lost coming into that, we hadn't won either, you know? So it's like, yeah, that we needed that W. So they're going to come in the same way. But I feel like this is a prime time to hit them, especially coming off that second half of that Rhode Island game. I feel like there's a lot of momentum you can carry into there.
Right.
In Pittsburgh, which, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, like, it's funny, we joked about it last year, and I think I had said that we didn't have the greatest away record at Pittsburgh, but I think you proved me wrong on that. I don't remember. It's been too long now. But, I mean, I feel good about going up there right now. I mean, I don't know. I feel like this is a good time to hit them because they're either going to be on fire or they're going to be vulnerable. And I think, mm-hmm, if they're vulnerable, we have the potency up top to punish them.
By the way, speaking, I was just thinking of this about a waveform. I noticed, I think it was last week or last weekend, Neil Collins and Barnsley set the club record for most points scored in away games in a season. I was like, yeah, there's Neil Collins. That's why you go get Neil Collins.
Yep.
Took a while for it to take effect here, but it did happen eventually.
Yep.
All right, so let's take a look at the current standings in the Eastern Conference, at least as of about an hour ago. I don't think there's any games tonight, but who knows? Louisville City and Detroit City are perfect on this year so far. 3 wins from 3 games. Louisville's on top with a +8 goal difference. They had a little bit of struggles last year, but they seem to have gotten back, and they had a huge roster turnover, and I was kind of thinking, maybe it's going to be a rebuilding year for them. They have a +8 goal difference and a maximum 9 points on the season. Detroit with 9 points as well, and a +3 goal difference. And maybe most exciting, they were drawn yesterday to play Michigan Stars in the Open Cup next round, which is the same game where the Stars owner complained about darkness, smoke, and smell the last time they played in that game. So we're going to get a little rematch there. Third place is Charleston Battery. 4 games. They've won 2 and they've drawn 2. They drew their first 2 and they've won their second, their third and their fourth games. Currently sitting third in the standings with 8 points plus 5 goal difference. Hartford Athletic, 2 wins and a loss out of 3 games so far. Positive plus 1 goal difference, 6 points. 1 point ahead of the Tampa Bay Rowdies. 3 games, 1 win, 2 draws, plus 3 goal difference. And 5 points total on the season. Same as North Carolina. North Carolina has played 4 games, but they've got 2 draws, a win, and a loss. A negative 1 goal difference. Loudoun United in 7th with 4 points in 3 games. Miami FC with 4 points in 4 games. 2 losses, a win, and a draw. If the playoffs started today, this would be a really short season. But those would also be your playoff teams. Indy 11. 9th place, 4 points from 4 games. They are literally in 9th place by a negative 1 goal difference to Miami's 0 goal difference. Birmingham Legion in 10th, 1 win, 2 losses, 3 points on the season. Rhode Island in 11th, 2 draws and a loss. And then this weekend's opponent for the Tampa Bay Rowdies, this weekend's host, it just feels weird to say this. Pittsburgh Riverhounds, dead last in the East. 3 games, 3 losses. They have scored 1 goal total. They have a negative 5 goal difference. We'll talk some more about Pittsburgh in a little bit later. They might be better than that, but I don't know how. I mean, I'm sure they're better than 0 points, but how much better? I don't really know.
Yeah.
Because if you look at their roster, I don't know a lot of those names anymore.
No,
I really don't. I took a look at it to try and see what was going on, and it was like, there's 2 or 3 names. Some of these are names I recognized maybe a couple years ago. Didn't know that they were still around. So we'll see. But want to do some league news. We've seen this in all the Rowdies games so far before I had seen this even been published. And for us, it seems to be a product of the injury situation. We've gone into these games with a short bench, sometimes just 6, just 7 guys on the bench, but we've seen a couple of the academy kids out there. There is a new rule in USL, and I think this is pretty great. It's a new, and this may be why you've seen the Rowdies announce so many guys on academy contracts so far. So you have your match day roster, your 11 starters, your 7 bench players. You can also add 2 maximum of two under 18s to the roster, and they are eligible for selection. The Rowdies have had kids on academy contracts on the bench for every game so far. Ortiz made his professional debut last weekend, second half in that game, so that was pretty cool for him. I think this is great overall, and I kind of I mentioned Neil Collins a few moments ago, but I kind of wonder if this is somehow related to the work he was putting in trying to build up the youth system, working with the youth kids, getting the local youth tied in with the Rowdies. And there was a quote in the article from Robbie Nielsen. I think it's a fantastic idea, said Rowdies head coach Robbie Nielsen at the USL Academy Cup ahead of the club's home opener and season opener against San Antonio FC. This Saturday, we're going to have two young guys who are going to get opportunities on the bench and potentially get on the pitch that they probably wouldn't have had if we didn't have this rule. Also, if we didn't have a lot of injuries, I think it's a great one. He didn't say that part. I did. We've spoken about having pathways and opportunities for these young guys is really important. And the rule the USL has brought in is going to allow teams to do that. So I think it's pretty cool. Number one, like it's a commitment to kind of the youth movement and these academy systems being more than just, a system on a piece of paper. There's a real commitment league-wide to bring these kids in and bring them through. I think a lot of it has to do with they've seen what they've been able to sell some of these younger players off to European clubs for. I think it's a great thing for the clubs league-wide. And I'm excited to see this continue because, somebody say, oh, this kid's on an academy contract. Okay, well, unless it's the Open Cup, he's never going to see the pitch. No, he's going to be on the bench and got a chance to be selected now.
Yep. I mean, even if it's only the last, 10 minutes, 5 minutes of a game, whatever. I mean, it's a chance for him to get out there. And I mean, something you alluded to, under Neil, he made a concern ever to really bring in the youth, bring in the kids, right? And that's folded in this year. I think Robbie, I remember him early on mentioning somehow he was committed to bringing up the youth as well. So
right.
I like to see the Rowdies keep to this commitment and see these young kids getting a chance on the field. It's great for them. I mean, and you're right. We've seen a surge in young players, 15, 16-year-olds signing with European teams. Signing contracts with these big clubs, and it's a great opportunity for them as well. I mean, if we want to see this game grow, we need to see the inclusion of these young players and getting them into the academy system and getting them used to being around professionals and around the big game. So it was really cool to see the kid out there, and he seems like a really nice kid. I mean, I haven't met him or anything, but from what I've heard about him, he's a great kid, very humble, just a hungry kid that wants to play, loves to play, and it was, happy for him. I mean, how much would you have loved if a kid to have that kind of opportunity, right? I mean, it would have been amazing.
Oh, it's great. And when I was reading this whole article and about the rule, the thing that struck me was, Joe Cole was great. Marcel Schaefer was great. Seeing Drogba in the league was great. That's not how you build a league.
Right.
Though. And that's not how you build the system. It's cool. It's fun. I'm not saying don't do that, but it's kind of cool to see the league has transitioned more from bringing in these guys as I don't want to say like PR stunts because they all played, they all contributed, they all played at a pretty good level here. But they were brought in as name recognition and they got made some money off of it and did their time. And, some of them are still involved with clubs. We know we see Joe Cole around every now and then. Drogba still, I believe, involved with Phoenix. Marcel's pretty busy, but we know he checks in from time to time. But this is how you really build this system out and how you build this league out and how you set down roots and hopefully make a foundation for this league to be stable and steady and important in the years to come.
Yeah, 100% agreed. I mean, there's a time and a place for the Joe Coles and the Drogbas and those guys. There's definitely a time and a place in the league for that. It was the same thing with bringing David Beckham over at MLS. I mean, there was a time and a place for that. And even MLS has recognized, you've got to move into more of a youth movement. And, I think it's a good sign of the health of this league getting stronger, getting better, and growing as a whole. I mean, it's been fun to watch. And we are still in very much the infancy, the early phases of this. So, it's exciting to see kind of where this is all headed. So, congrats to the young man. I'm excited to see what else is to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Club news. We talked about both of these a little bit, but we'll wrap them up here. Rowdies acquired defender Eddie Manjoma from Phoenix, 25 years old, so young guy. 36 caps with Phoenix last year. I believe he's made one appearance this year. Had two goals, two assists for Phoenix in their championship-winning season, and can play on left or right as a wingback. Came in. He was in training all week. Started. I think he went the full 90, didn't he? He didn't get subbed off at all. So,
I don't, yeah.
You know, all right, let's see what else he can do. And Jordan Doherty, week four team of the week, and Aaron Guillen on the team of the week bench. You know, I said Guillen earlier for the goal. It was Doherty with the goal line clearance, wasn't it?
No, I think it was Guillen.
Was it Guillen? Okay.
It might have been Doherty, but now that you say it, I don't know. I have a shirt on. That's about as much like Guillen.
And it's mine's not even inside out. This is great. Yeah, Guillen team of the week bench. Both of those guys had great games.
Yeah.
You know, I know we have a lot of new faces on the roster, but having some of the old hands, the old veterans, still just chugging along, doing what they do is great to see too. All right, so this weekend, Saturday, tomorrow, Rowdies travel to Highmark Stadium at Pittsburgh to face the Riverhounds. Rowdies, like we said, currently fifth in the Eastern Conference. 1-0-2, 5 points plus three goal difference. Pittsburgh is sitting last, have not won a game, have only scored one goal, and have conceded six. Usually we start getting into like stats and leading scores and stuff. Pittsburgh literally has one goal. I can't do anything with this right now. Yep. And you know, we've seen our scores. Hey, we're at a plus three. We were at a zero going into last weekend's game because we got out of there with a plus three in that one game. So it's, yep. Let's build it up from there. Injury report out for this game: Zane Bubb, Charlie Dennis, Zach Haravo, and Nick Moon. Questionable: Leo Fernandez, Freddie Kleeman. I will almost guarantee you don't see either of them. Probably don't even travel. How you can watch: the Rowdies are having an official watch party again over at Colony Pizza. 25% off of pizza if you're in Rowdy's gear. And this isn't because they haven't publicized it. Maybe they haven't. I just haven't seen it. I have not been online much of this week. It's been very busy. I know the Mob had a watch party for the last game at Studio Public House. I don't know if they're doing that again this week or not. Skyway Casual to be down at Shamrock. They've got all their equipment fixed, back up and running, and are good to go. If you can't go and you're going to be watching from home, this is going to be on CBS Golazo. I don't believe it's on ESPN Plus at all. CBS Golazo. I watch it through Paramount Plus. I don't know where else you can go find that, but that will be how you can watch this game this weekend. You know, normally we do predictions and stuff.
I don't know what to take from this one. I mean, look, just even looking at the standings right now, there's one thing that we can both agree on is however those standings look right now, they are not going to finish that way. And I mean,
I will say at least Indy, Birmingham, Pittsburgh, I cannot see finishing the season in the bottom four out of the playoffs.
No.
Rhode Island wouldn't surprise me if they're out. Loudoun, maybe Miami. I don't know who you're
fourth. I mean, what world are we in? This is the upside down.
We're in the world where we're three to four games in the season. That's
Loudoun is in second place. What?
Yeah, but you know.
I mean, if I know anything, history tells me this. Pittsburgh, no matter how they're playing up until the point of the season, they're going to show up for this game. Yeah. There's been too many great battles between the Rowdies and Pittsburgh. Even though the rosters are not the same, the bad blood still exists. It's going to be an environment. It's a cool stadium setup. I like how they're on the water. You occasionally see the train rolling by. I mean, yep. I think it's cool. You know, I definitely want to go to a game out there at some point. It's going to be a fun game. And I say this too. It's like, look, if the team that finished the Rhode Island game shows up in Pittsburgh, I think we've got a very good chance to come out with a positive result. Still a little worried about defense.
Yeah.
I have my concerns. I mean, again, thank God for Jordan Farr. And I know that defense by committee overall defense has been good, but right now it's the one point or one facet of a game that just doesn't feel right, you know. So who knows? But I'll throw a prediction out there. I'm gonna go 3-1.
I was just gonna say I will do one too. Go ahead.
I'm gonna go 3-1. Rowdies win.
All right. I'm thinking 2-1. 2-1 for the Rowdies.
I genuinely think, and I got to start being more positive about this. If I'm going to sit here and say that we're dangerous from either side of the ball or up the middle, I think with the attack that we have, I got to believe that they're going to come against a team that's hurting, and they're going to put the hurt on them. Whether it be at Pittsburgh, we need to be able to do it away regardless, right? I mean, that's how the playoffs work. You got to be able to do it away and at home. Well, now's a great time to prove it. So here you go. Great test. Show what you're made of.
Well, and the reason I go to one, and even I, you know, I was reading the Rowdies match preview, and you know, talked about Robbie Nielsen says now. So one thing I really liked him saying too was, when we go on the road and we go play another team, and Neil Collins said this too. He's like, it's not about who we're playing; it's about us playing how we want to. We're not that worried about who the team on the other side is. Not that he's disrespecting him, but he's like, if he feels if he has his system in place and it's clicking the way that he wants it to, it doesn't matter who they're facing.
Right.
And he does mention in there, he's like, look, just like us, they've had a large roster turnover, and they have a huge roster turnover.
Yep.
But you know who is still there?
Yes.
Bob Lilly.
I was just going to say.
Bob freaking Lilly.
And look, so, you can say a lot of things about them, but one thing you can't say about Bob Lilly is that man doesn't know how to coach.
Yeah.
I mean, so he is one of the best in the business for a reason. All respect to Bob Lilly, he has earned it.
Give me 11 random guys with Bob Lilly coaching him, and I will never say there's a 100% chance you're going to lose.
No, what's the one thing that he does that consistently every year? He gets his team to buy into the system, right? Like, I mean, that's one of the things that, I mean, I think every year clear across the board is no matter what, the Pittsburgh team that finishes the season shows a team that is consistent and bought into the system. And Bob Lilly is a master of making guys do that. So. Yeah. I mean, I just hope they don't figure it out this week. You know, that's really what it comes down to.
And it goes back to, when you're saying looking at the standing, Loudon seventh and, Hartford's fourth. What kind of world is it? I remember talking to Neil Collins one time after an early season game, and it was like, how are you feeling? What are you thinking about so far? And he's like, look, nothing matters until you're like 7 to 10 games in.
Yeah.
The standings don't matter. The stats don't matter. Nothing matters until you're around that time. And that's when you've had a chance to figure out who your best lineup is, or at least who your available lineup is. You have given them some chance to play in your system to get used to what you're expecting, what you're asking from them. After that, that's when you can start making some predictions and some judgment calls. So, if we can show up and play like we did against Rhode Island, this technically is the next worst team after Rhode Island. I would expect us to be able to win too. But there's Bob Lilly. So I'm going to say 2-1.
I think a totally fair prediction. I don't have anything to add. I think it's absolutely spot on.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up and get out of here so I can get this edited and hopefully put out on the internet before the game starts, because it gets a little bit less useful after that.
Yeah.
Although the jokes are still the jokes.
That's right.
All right. We will hopefully be back next week at some point. Unless it's another 1-1 game with an own goal, who knows? We'll figure it out. I do have some stuff going on next week, but we should be able to get something done and out there.
Hey, did you do a man of the match for this game, by the way?
No, I don't think we did. It's early season for us too.
I was just sitting here thinking, like, we didn't do a man of the match. I mean, I kind of already alluded to who I think is the man of the match, but I mean, do you have one or no?
Well, you go first. You said you've got one in mind. I'm going to guess that mine might be similar.
Yeah, I mean, so look, I alluded to this guy earlier. I'm a big fan of his. He's the new guy on the team, Manu. I mean, look, that guy has been, Manuel Arteaga has been the real deal. And his goal, I think, shows a lot about who he is as a player. I really like him. I thought he had a great game. I think even the stuff he does off the ball is super influential. And he is a difference maker. And I'm really high on this guy right now. I'm really stoked that he's on our side. So he is my man of the match.
I'm going Jordan Doherty. He's team of the week. Wasn't the winning goal. Wasn't the equalizing goal. It was an important one. Just his leadership, his presence on the field, I think speaks a lot of volumes. I know Aaron Guillen's got the captain armband, but we've got three or four guys out there that would be legitimate candidates to be a captain if Aaron Guillen wasn't there. Jordan Doherty's definitely one of them. So I'm gonna give him the award for this one. Your first goal in about 4 years now for the Rowdies. You get the prize.
Agreed. I love it.
All right, so let's get out of here. I want to get some rest tonight so we can stay up and watch the game tomorrow. Remember, it's a 7 o'clock kickoff, not 7:30. It seems like we're one of the only teams that does 7:30 when we're at home. Pittsburgh does 7 on CBS Galazzo, and we will be back next week to talk about the results and the upcoming match next week. Ben, good seeing you. Good talking to you. let's hope we both get a good night's sleep tonight, because at our age, we need that. And I will talk to you soon.
Sounds good, man. Have a good one. Come on, you rowdies.
All right, guys. See ya.
The rowdies are kicking the grass.